Welcome to another episode of Becoming One. He's your lovely host, Lorenzo.
And your lovely host, Jeremy. And welcome, welcome.
It's good to be back in here.
Sorry. Oh, it's been a while, right?
It's been a little while. Sorry about the hold up, guys.
I've been busy. I've been pretty busy.
I know. Tell me who's not busy in today's world.
It's part of life, you know. But hey, I mean, we try to make time the best that we can. So bear with us, guys, and just be patient. I promise. Anytime we put out a new episode, we definitely let you guys know ASAP.
Well, Becoming One, it's about love and true love and finding meaning and helping you guys trying to find it as well. And not just that, you know, being so busy, we can't be so busy towards each other.
You got to make time. So that's definitely important, spending quality time.
It is. And the importance of being there for one another physically, communicating in and out. If you're not there physically, I can't stress enough the communication. But in this episode, we're talking about culture, ethnicity, and how we wrap love around that background.
So, yeah. So for this episode, I mean, obviously, when a person is dating not someone of their background, it becomes a little bit challenging because people have different cultures, different views on things. And this is something that we actually want to touch up with you guys. So, I mean, I don't know. How do you want to?
Well, I want to start with asking you, what's love in your culture? Was it your beliefs, like your culture in your country?
I mean, it's your typical normal views, though. I mean, if you think about it, but the way the society's built on today's world makes it a little bit different because the younger generation and the youth are pretty, like, careless with it. I don't really feel like they see, like, themselves, like, getting married or the whole nine yards that come with it. You know, it's more of a, if it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm going to kind of live my life. But I can say that, you know, prior to my generation, like my mom and my grandmas and so forth, and my great grandmother, their whole culture and background when it came to relationship was you meet somebody, you know, they meet your family, you know, you end up, you know, filling each other out for quite some time, and then, you know, obviously the proposal, the marriage, the kids,
the family. So the basics, guys.
The basics, yeah. Yeah, the basics.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it becomes a little bit more challenging when you have other beliefs, and maybe if you have like different religion, you know. I know that like some Middle Eastern people, like, they're not allowed to date outside of their, you know, their background and their people and their ethnicity. So
I know. And well, when it comes to the if you want to talk about what love is like in Mexico and the way Mexicans are,
oh god.
Because that's exactly who I am.
Well, you know, right?
You know, over time, love has changed, evolved. We don't even know if it exists anymore. And it's sad to even ask and wonder if it does, because back then it did. And we are we're very family-oriented. We're all about our woman. We're all about our man. And
I mean, majority of you guys are, but there's a certain problem that your culture has, at least in my view, in my perspective.
And that's exactly what we're here to talk about, because we have different perspectives.
Exactly. And that's the fact. I understand that work is important. I understand that. But there's a balance for everything in life. You cannot sit there and work 10, 12 hours a day, 6-7 days out the week, because you're actually not dedicating time to your family nor your significant other. And that's another reason why a lot of matrimonies and relationship fail. Been statistically proven. It's, you know, true. Finance, it goes finance, infidelity, and you know, and the inconsistency of quality and spending quality time with one another.
Yeah, because that quality time is important. If it's not met, then they're going to try to find it somewhere else. And sadly enough, you don't.
It's like a domino effect. It just, you know, rolls over. So that's one thing that I noticed about your culture. And don't get me wrong, that can be a good thing. I mean, you, as a woman, you do want a hardworking man, but you got to set a limit to the time frame as well.
I can't speak for all Mexicans out there, but I believe in like life, work and life balance. Like, I can't stress that enough. I mean, a solid 8 hours of work a day. And then, you know, because you got a life too, you got to take care of appointments, you know, you know, you got kids, you got to take care of all that. So you got to balance that out.
Right. I mean, I work too. But again, I dedicate just my 40 hours a week. And prior to you coming into my life, I would dedicate the rest of my kids because, I mean, they need that one-on-one time with me as well. Like,
of course,
I can't just be working. Like, think about it. I miss out on certain school activities for them because I'm at work. If it's my free time, I wouldn't want to do that.
All right.
And then when you're working, you have the option.
The kids want to bond with you.
Right. And when you're working and you've done your 40 hours, you have the options of telling them no for overtime.
And that's the problem. We get too caught up on our own life. We forget about our young ones. And as they get older, they lack that parenthood that we were supposed to provide.
Right. That sense of, you know, they have a little less sense of emotion when it comes to that because you were never physically, emotionally, or mentally there or spiritually there. So why would they feel they don't feel like, you know, that they're entitled to you or like they owe you anything.
That is one thing about my culture. I have to say that all they do is we would do work, and work.
That's not good.
Plus,
the body physically needs to rest. Like,
exactly. That's very important.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one of the things that I would say. And it might not just be your culture. It could be a lot of different cultures. But from what I've noticed, a lot of, like, Central Americans or South American, that's their mentality. Which, I'm not saying it's wrong, but there's certain things that, like, it just doesn't go with me. And that's one thing that wouldn't fly.
I'll be honest. Like, I don't know what everybody got going on in their life, but when I look at society as a whole, when I go out, I see that everybody just wants to be poised. They want to be in love. They want love. Like,
not necessarily. Not everybody. These young kids, they're not even looking for love anymore.
But it's because they're missing something. I feel like
they're missing it, but they're not even gullible to actually seeing. So with that being said, they're careless with it because they don't see it.
Well, I could say about my culture is that, yes, we work, but at the same time, we like to come to our family, our wife. I'm not the
whole... I don't see that, though. A lot of the ones that I know that are not, like, from the Caribbeans and stuff like that, they just work, like, and I'm just like, how is that living? Like, that's not a life.
I agree. I have to
agree on that. And then, if your work, I swear, if you're working 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day, six, five, seven days out the week, you better be driving a brand new 2019 type of vehicle. 2020, make it 2020 now because we're in 2019.
Right.
And you better be living in some sort of palace that you're working these crazy hours.
It's ridiculous. Like,
and it just doesn't make sense to me.
I have to agree. I've always been the same mindset. We work, but living like that is like, what are you doing with your life? Life is not meant just to work.
Listen, guys, I'm going to tell you this. Like I tell all my friends and family. At the end of the day, we're all going to the same place. It's the same dug up 6 feet under hole that everybody goes to. And you only get one life. So with that being said, make the best of it. Enjoy it. I understand, yes, people need to work. I work too. There's times that they offer overtime. If I really, really need it, I'll definitely take it. But I don't make it a habit. I don't because I'd rather spend it with my kids. I'd rather spend time with them because making memories is what you need to do to take forward with you when you get to that place, when you're eventually no longer here, because you're not going to take your car, you're not going to take your money, your bank cards, your house, your jewelry, your clothes, your flashiness, whatever that you're, whatever flashiness that you want.
Right.
You know, you don't take nothing with you besides your memories.
Exactly. And what did you say happens after you die? You get like a flashback of everything that happened throughout your life?
Well, that's what they say. They say that don't quote me now. I'm just letting you know. You know, I read little articles here and there, and they say that when you're in the process of your last minutes of life, basically, they say that like your whole life flashes before your eyes.
So everything you've done in your past.
Yes, whether good or bad, everything.
Yeah. So that's important.
So I don't see my car. I mean, yeah, maybe out of joy and excitement, like, yeah, I got this new car, but I don't see me like, yeah, my car is coming with me to the grave. Yes. Like, no. No.
Not unless you're being buried in it. Ooh. 6 feet under.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know, people get so greedy and stingy with the money. Like, people are so involved when it comes to money that it's just mind blowing. Like, Wow, you really, that like, that's really your mentality. Just, I need to work, work, work to provide. Well, technically, let's be realistic.
I guess
if you don't, if you make a certain pay range, you know, whether it's 20, 30 a year, 40, 50 a year, 60, 80 a year, you know, 80 to 100 a year. You have to be mindful of what you get in, like what you get, like what you buy, whether it's a house. Like, I've seen people buy houses that they know they can't afford. Why are you buying this house?
Live within your budget.
Yes.
That's important.
Yes. I would definitely live within my budget. I know
people. And I tell you why people do this. Because people just give a fuck about other people's opinion. They want
to. I don't care about nobody's opinion. That's the thing.
Not just you, but I'm talking about other people in general. They care about what other people think of them. And that's why they want to live the life that they can't afford.
I don't care about nobody's opinion. At the end of the day, if you're not paying my bills, I don't care. I just don't. So, I've seen people buy houses,
BMWs, Mercedes,
cars that they can't afford.
I'm guilty. I was one.
Right. I'm just saying, just paying ridiculous car notes or ridiculous mortgages when they know, like, I only make XYZ amount. So in my head, I'm thinking, okay, you only make XYZ. So that means that what you're bringing in, you can't even afford. Like, that's your whole paycheck. You know what I mean? So why would you even purchase that house? Like, you need to know how to manage your money. Like, so literally.
Again, guys, we're talking about culture. We're also setting finances in love. We're all tying it in.
They kind of get the picture.
Because it's all in one picture. Everything ties in.
But I'm saying, though, like, you know, you have these people like, now I got to work a second job. And I'm just why did you buy this house? Like, I'm confused.
It's about tracking your expenses, and it's about prioritizing and managing your time.
But it goes back to them. Like, now I gotta work twice as hard. Now I can't even see my child. I gotta work overtime to pay these bills. Like, I understand sometimes you want to give your child a better life, but like, you gotta be realistic with yourself. You're not rich. You ain't over there making Bill Gates money type of thing. Like, just stop.
If you ain't trying to work all that overtime and just to make a living and forget little young ones, the importance of education was brought out to my attention.
Education is key.
If you want that good, solid, good 8 hours and good pay, good benefit, you better educate yourself. I know I have been in the process of doing that myself.
That's just so unfortunate. You have a lot of people here from every type of, you know, background that don't take advantage of the fact that, like, it's not even that. You have so much resources out here, so much help. So, you know, like, literally, like, you have FAFSA, you have scholarships, you have grants, you have all sorts of stuff. There's countries that you can't even go to school, you can't even go to elementary school without paying. Mm-hmm. Literally. And then here it is that you're in this country, you don't even take advantage of it.
I think people don't know when to take advantage of it.
No, what it is that...
Or lack of research.
No, they're not accustomed to it, number one. And number two, it kind of falls down to parenting as well. Because as a parent, like, you know, as a parent growing up in these struggles, knowing that, hey, I didn't have that lifestyle. I didn't have that luxury to pay for school. I only made it to 9th grade. I only made it to 6th grade. Whatever the case might be, you should have some sort of understanding as a parent to know, man... Now, mind you, school's not for everybody, but having knowledge and some sort of education back in an educational background goes a long way. It does.
Professor,
like, it. I know people that, like, literally made it to, like, 5th grade, and, you know, you sit there and give them a phone, like, oh yeah, press the prompts, you know, for one, press one for English. For two, press Spanish, and it's literally saying that part in Spanish, and they don't know what to press. That's bad.
That is really bad.
That's bad.
If you, yeah.
And I noticed that in some cultures, you know, the men, they believe that, you know, they say, well, they told a friend of mine that they said that when they have kids, they're going to, you know, teach their kids and train their kids to work, work, work. And that person was like, you know what speaks volume? Education.
Work in what form of way? Physically, mentally.
Physical work, labor work.
And that's what gets you so exhausted, and you come home and you work these.
But that's the mentality that they're teaching. And I understand that they may come from a family where they probably came from nothing, and they kids had to work because, you know, there's, you know, outside of the U.S. I mean, there's child labor. We know that. And, you know, maybe they had to work to help, you know, their parents with the living and food or whatever the case might be. But, like, once you're here, you're in the land of opportunities.
Of course.
For if you're here, you know what I'm saying? If you were to come here with your child, migrate, whatever, you're in your 20s, 30s, and your child, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the best guidance you can give them is to make them go to school.
And again, if you have youngins, you know, and you guys already who have youngins already know the importance of being there for your child. Growing up, they're going to be faced with a lot of things. Like, they want a cell phone, but it's what they see that they follow. If they see a man or their dad or their wife reading books, they want to practice that same discipline.
Right, they mimic what parents do.
Yeah, they mimic what they do, what they say. If you're in the house, nothing but cussing, they're going to want to know what that means, and then knowing that that's wrong. You're reading more books, they want to read books. So, and it's just that if they see you reading more books than picking up that phone, they're going to want to mimic what you're doing.
I know, but it makes it a little bit hard because this generation, they're all about phones. I'd be the first one. My kid is like, Mom, can I play on your phone? And I have to limit that because...
You can't let them get brainwashed by it.
That's why I buy them books. I make them do crossword puzzles. Exactly.
So those are the type of things that we need to reinforce into our kids' lives.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have to, like, if... It's important to me and a family and the wife and having just that foundation of true love. And we, like I said, we all can come from different ethnicities, but really all boils down to how really connected you are with your partner.
It's your partner, your family, your kids, etc. Like, I mean,
think about it as your bloodline that runs through your veins.
But let's talk more about culture, though. I know we kind of got a little bit off subject, but which is okay, though. I mean, it was kind of like a little subsection of this culture thing that we're talking about.
Well, my culture, I think, yes, we're a lot of hardworking, but we do like love. Like, when it comes to love, we want a woman to be stable with. We want a woman to really give ourselves completely to one. I mean, I can't speak for all Mexicans out there, but the ones I've been around that I know of, like, adult-wise, they found to one woman. But I don't know out there. I don't know if they have a
mistress. Oh, so you want to know how, like, Dominican women are?
I mean, I'm just saying.
Is that what you want to know?
Well, not how Dominican women are. It's just that what is true love different from my culture versus yours?
I mean, but love is a universal thing, right? I mean, everybody knows.
We got our basics. You want marriage. You know, your boyfriend and girlfriend before.
There's some people that don't want that, though. I mean, and I get that. But
because, like, what I'm saying, I don't know which country it is where you give gifts. And those symbolizing of marriage.
Isn't that like in the India culture?
That's what I'm saying. We're differing. Like, cause, and then you got people from Arabic, you know.
And they have multiple women. They also get assigned. Like,
so
they're told who they're going to marry.
Different. Yeah, it's different.
I mean.
And in China, I think you're only limited to two kids and stuff.
You're only allowed to have two kids. Population. Because, yeah, the population is...
So it's, but in my culture, because I'm Mexican, I mean, I ain't gonna speak for all Mexicans, but men and women cheat and lie.
Every culture has the same.
Yeah, but I mean, if you really want to settle down with it, you give the signs saying, hey, you're the one I want to be with. You look how much I'm doing for you, how much I'm going for you. And, think true love is just going out of your way for somebody else and stop thinking about yourself all the time.
But I get that. But even though, like, you coming from a Mexican background, I'm coming from a Dominican background, there's a lot of factors that come into play that can be challenging. For example, the whole working situation. Me, as you said, like, yo, you move fast paced. I am fast paced. I'm quick on my feet. Like, and I know that sometimes that could be hard for you to catch on to things. And these are some of the ways that I was brought up growing up, basically. Mm-hmm. So it's challenging for you to understand my ways
and adapt.
Yeah, adapt as well and understand. The same way for me, that is, I had to think like, oh, you know, he's not used to things like this. I got to take it slower with him and so forth, you know. And these are challenges that, you know, you come across in a relationship. Yeah, and no matter what background you have, doesn't matter what ethnicity, what race, doesn't matter, there's certain challenges that you come across, not to mention in society as well. I mean, if you have to be let's be realistic, people are not going to say it, but I know they think it. You know, if you think about it, I'm sure that your family members would have preferred for you to be with a Mexican. And I'm sure, like, my parents, like, my dad for sure probably would prefer for me to be with a Dominican. But things don't always work that way.
Right. My people is always like, busca tu una Mexicana, go find your girl from Mexico. They're hardworking. They always cooking and cleaning. And I'm like, yeah, but maybe a girl.
So that's the reason you're supposed to. So what happened to the falling in love? Where does this go into play then? I'm confused. Go get you a Mexican because they're good housewife is what you're telling me. What?
I mean, everybody has their own taste.
I get it, but how is that happiness? Or if that's what they're telling you.
Happiness is you have to find your own happiness. You have to see, you have to have a taste for it. Is this really what you want or you don't want? I mean, in Mexico, you know, poor country. I mean, you're a Dominican Republic, poor country as well.
Poor country as well.
You know, and we know how bad it is and how poor it is. So when we get to this country, we're ready to move. We're ready to make some money. But I understand that people back home are struggling. But does that mean that you need to be sending money constantly back to them? That's nice if you have extra. But you got stuff going on your own.
This is the thing about that. The thing is that when people migrate to the United States, remember, the United States is a dreamland. Everybody wants to come here. Not everybody can come here, right?
So you might not find a lover.
No, it's the land of opportunity. Meaning that, for example, I've told you this before, you know, in the United States, you have benefits such as if you are below that poverty threshold, you know, like you can get welfare, you can get, you know what I'm saying, you can get food stamps, you can get Medicaid, you know, health insurance, you can get like government assistance as far as like housing, subsidized, you know, rent, whatever the case might be. In countries like your country and my country, you don't get that.
Right.
So if you're born in, you know, in a family that doesn't bring wealth, guess what? You're going to struggle. If your family or my family or whoever, you know what I'm saying, goes starving at night, 9 out of 10, you're going to be doing it too if you were back in your country, you know? So they automatically assume that when you come here, you're making bank. And guess what? People struggle here too.
Yeah.
Maybe not to that extreme. Maybe I may not be starving because I'm jobless, because I can go, you know, go down to the welfare building and be like, hey, I'm not working. I got a family of this much and I need some assistance. In my country, you can't do that. But they don't realize, they don't understand that people here struggle as well.
Right.
They just automatically assume they're making it big because they're in the United States, and that's not true.
No, it's not. No. But, I mean, a lot of that goes back to the way we were raised and we were brought up. You know, my culture, like, is nothing but work. But, again, you're not living.
That's not a life. That's not life.
And now you want kids with a wife, but you're all the time working. And they need you back at home, but you're at work. You're missing out on activities, and your kids.
I mean, you have to think about it. Time stops for nobody.
Is that true love? Like, would you say
that wouldn't be true love? You know what that's considered? That's considered stability. Oh, I know that he's at work 10, 12 hours a day. I know my light bill is gonna get paid. My mortgage is gonna get paid. My you know, gas bill, water, sewer, whatever, et cetera, is gonna be paid. That's stability. That's not. What fun and excitement are you bringing to your family? Are you having spending time with your family when you're, think about it. There's only 24 hours a day. You got to sleep a good 6 to 8 hours. Mm-hmm. So that puts you down to what, like roughly what, 15 hours?
Yeah, I slept up to 4, 5, 6.
But I'm saying, before. So what, if you do the math, well, I can't do math right now, but I'm saying, if you think about it, that brings you down to what, roughly 15 hours a day, you know, if you subtract your sleep from it. So out of those 15 hours a day, if you're working 10 to 12, what time do you have to spare? 3 hours.
4 or 5 hours.
That's 3 hours. It's really 3 hours. Think about it. If you wake up at 6 in the morning, you're out the door before 7, get to work by 8, work till like, I don't know,
7, 8 o'clock. 5:30.
No, let's say 7, 8 o'clock, you know, long hours, 7, 8 o'clock. Wow. When you come home, all you want to do is eat.
Take a shower
and go to sleep. But what do you want to do? You're tired. You're exhausted.
You don't want to do anything.
You know?
And your kids, like, come at you with it. As they get older, they're going to be like, daddy, or mom, I want you to go to this event. Would you come?
Right, or not just that. Oh, bring me this bedtime story. Oh, let's watch TV. You don't want to do any of that. You're tired. Because I've been guilty of that when I've been tired.
Right. And then you had to miss on events because you weren't there. And that kills the dad inside of you, or that kills the mom inside of you. And you're like, man, I just can't be doing this. So that kind of forces you up to, hey, you need to step it up. Like, you need to get engaged because something has to happen here. America or something. But you need to be more involved with your kids' life.
But that's why it's like I've told friends, family that I get it. Education is not for everybody. And, you know, sometimes it's really not. And if it's not for you, then choose an alternative. Okay, I try to go to school. I try to go to college, get my associate's degree. I couldn't get past math. My writing sucks. I can't do this. It's not for me. You know what? I need to figure out a way to make money. Let me go into the trucking business. Let me do into the roofing business or whatever the case might be. Let me take this, you know, certification for this course or something,
right,
to bring in that revenue, because it is important. I mean, you need stability in life. You need some sort of security.
Yeah.
So, you know, to make sure you can provide for your family. But when you sit there and work 10, 12 hours just to make a decent paycheck, that's not good.
It's not.
That's not good. Mm-hmm. It's not good at all.
And I can honestly say that that's not true love as well. Like, it's, again, it goes back to stability. Like,
it's not even about true love. I mean, it is. It plays a factor when it comes to your love life. It does, because you're not there. You know, you're not physically there for your partner, your family. You're not physically there, you know what I'm saying, for events, social events. All you're doing is just pretty much coming home, paying the bills and going to work. Like, that's not how are you sustaining your relationship?
Right.
It's not about that it's true love, because, I mean, at the end of the day, that person, yes, may love you, you know, absolutely. But you guys are going through that hoop, obviously, so.
Mm-hmm. So, one thing that I have been learning is to stress the importance of education. It can't be stressed that enough. Do whatever you got to do, you know, read books, magazines, biographies, autobiographies, memos, cover letters, personal business letters, whatever you have to do, expand that vocabulary, be open-minded. And that's not easy for those people who not always experience being open-minded. But being, just changing your whole, who you used to be and killing it, being somebody new is different. But that goes back to my culture and what I believe in, what love is.
See, I'll give a little brief history about my culture, at least during the time that I grew up, knowing, you know, my mother's relationship, my grandma's and so forth. Like, As a Dominican woman, I would say that we will treat our men, you know, like royalty, literally. You know, especially if that person is bringing in, you know, the revenue. Because you got to think about it. Back in the days, women really didn't work. Women were stay-at-home moms, etc. You know, and the husband will be the provider. You know, this generation, both people have to work, obviously. But, if you treat us right, you'll get that and more, obviously. So, my grandma and my mom grew up during that era, obviously. And they were the stay-at-home mom. You got to think about it. Believe it or not, dealing with kids is a full-time job. That is. We're talking about cooking, cleaning the house, taking care of the kids, doing their homework, taking them to whatever special events is needed, taking them to school, whatever. You know, managing to make sure the bills are paid on time, because at that time men were just doing, hey, how much is the light bill? $100, here you go, whatever. Like you know, running the errands, you know. But because at that time, you know, saying women didn't work, whatever, you know. So because a woman didn't work, whatever, that was considered their job. That was their full time job. In return, we would expect to somehow get rewarded, whether it is a Friday, you know, house is clean, kids are good, you know, husband's fed, sexed up, whatever, etc. You know, here you go, baby. Here's $50. Go get your hair, then go get your nails, and etc. Like, that's how we put, you know, that's kind of what's expected from our men, obviously, because it's one of those that we also like to get ourselves pampered. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, my coach, you were very romantic.
We are too.
Very, like, you know, all about our women, like I said, and giving them flowers and chocolates. And
but that's expected, yes. I mean, you want that in a guy. Like, wouldn't you want to, I mean, at me as a woman, I would want my guy to be bringing me flowers.
And I met a girl that never liked flowers.
That's weird to me. They
didn't like the teddy bear. I'm like, what?
I think that, to me, they didn't like that the gift was coming from you, to be honest. That's not, I cannot picture not one girl not liking a gift from a guy, period.
Well, it was not that I didn't like the gift from a guy. It's what I was giving them.
That's not, yeah, no. I put money that person now probably, if they're in a relationship, they probably get flowers and chocolate and teddy bears from their significant other, and they love it.
Yeah. But that's a little bit about my culture. I mean, yeah, we work our asses off, and we come here and we do a lot of jobs that some people don't like to do, like picking up tobacco and
yeah, you're right, because I'm not doing
blueberries
that.
Out there from or doing
you guys do a lot of farming work,
roofing work or concrete work, foundations, because all manual labor jobs.
See, us, we're kind of feisty, like we're the type of woman that, like, you know,
rather use the brains.
Absolutely. If God gave it to you, you better use it. You better utilize it. It's there for a reason. You better not get run over by people trying to take advantage of you. Boy, bye. But see, as us, you know, I work, I provide for the house. You know, me and my man go half and half, obviously. But he got to do that and more. Like, if I want to get my hair done, he better be like, here you go, baby. Here's some money. Go get your hair done, your nails done, your pedicure, whatever. You know what? Let me book you this spa for you, appointment for you. I'm expected to get pampered like that.
Of course.
You better step up your game. That's what come with it. I mean, we are feisty. I'm not going to lie. We're just not going to tolerate. No.
Not just going to settle.
We're not going to settle. We're not going to tolerate a lot of BS either.
Yeah.
So, like.
There you go. That's their culture, guys.
It's a balance. I mean, it's important for you to work. It's important for you to dedicate time to your girl. It's important for you to spend quality time. You know, it's important for you to provide. You know, and just kind of do the, you know, the manly routine that's needed in a family. You know, like, that's what we expect, obviously. And if you cheat, oh boy, may the Lord be with you.
I don't know. I mean, I ain't gonna say no Mexicans cheat, but that's bullshit.
Every guy cheats. I don't care what nobody says. They're gonna be like, oh, she's wrong. Every man don't cheat. It's finding a guy that does not cheat. It's like finding a needle in a haystack.
Ooh.
Literally.
That'd be different.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't have the intentions of doing that.
Never say you did, but I mean, as a guy, you could fall. I mean, guys are very tempted, obviously.
Yeah. But that's a little bit about my culture. That's a thing. And that's how we perceive true love. We just want to find the... And mind you, some people in the other countries, they're like, wow, this guy has money. He's from the other side. Let me get hooked up with him and let's see if we can work this thing out. And I'm like, that's not love. That's just being taken advantage of.
I mean, you have other cultures where guys have multiple women and that's allowed. I mean, that wouldn't fly with me. I can't. That's not going to happen. I can't be with somebody that can have 10 wives.
Because it ain't true. Because that's not, to me, that's not true love. So you're telling me that you can give that same amount of attention and energy to all of them 10 women?
Of course not. I mean, that's just how they're brought up. Like, I mean, I'm assuming that maybe out of the five wives that he has, he might really love one, but he was bound to the other one because it was like an arranged marriage, or, you know, there's different scenarios for different things, you know?
I mean, just can't see how true love is having 10 women. Like, today's generation, oh, I got side A, side B, side C, side D. I'm like, how is that? That's like having a full-time job that doesn't pay, because now you got to keep track of...
Not just that, but then you got to financially somewhat support, you know, one and two and three. Like, think about it.
That's not true. You're right. Love.
But I'm saying, but think about it. Like, okay, you may have your wife at home and you may have a side girl, and the side girl wants you, you know, since she can't fully be with you, you know, she's expecting for you to pay for her nails, book her trips, pay one of her bills or two. Like, that's how it works, right? Literally, in today's generation.
Right.
I've seen it plenty of times and I'm just like, I'm just kind of glad I'm not in that situation.
Right. And yeah, that's just a little bit about my background and what we believe and what we want out of a woman, or just, or, you know, vice versa, you know. But this podcast episode was mainly about the culture, the ethnicity, and what are...
Well, it's basically how to overcome these challenges. Like, you know that coming from, you know, your background, a Mexican, you know, family oriented, most of the women in your culture do XYZ. So now that you're dating someone that's not Mexican, how do you deal with those challenges?
It's adapt. And it's not easy. It's not easy. I'll tell you that.
So it's about adapting?
It's adapting. It's kind of, again, getting to know your partner very well and see if that you're willing to put who you used to be and adapt to their lifestyle, and what and how can you adapt your lifestyle into a way that it'll make it work? Because that's really what it boils down to. You want to make this thing work with her or him? It would look and figure out what kind of lifestyle she's living in and what she wants and what she needs and what her goals are. And then if you know, you really got to check your self-temper and your attitude and what makes you mad. Because if you don't see that eye to eye and you're more tempered and she's more tempered and y'all both, then it's not going to work out. Y'all always going to be mad at each other.
It's all about a balance, to be honest with you.
It is adapting. So
adapting, so, balancing.
So and if you're Mexican, you're a nice guy, and maybe she's very hostile, and I don't know. She's got to find a way to balance it out, or vice versa, you know. You just don't know. How to overcome those challenges is really, like I said, figuring out who you're dealing with. Who is she about? Who is he about?
It's not even about figuring it out. I mean, because people have their ways. It's more of about, like you said, adapting and meeting that person halfway. Because there's things in life that you're willing to compromise. There's things in life that you're not. For example, you know, right now, you know, you're working crazy hours and it's temporary. And I'm hoping that it's temporary. So I'm meeting you halfway.
Oh, heck, it, you know, it's temporary.
Right. But I'm saying if you were to be working crazy hours for years, like we're going to have we're going to have a hard time.
Right now, if it was years, we're cutting it. I mean, if it's going to be, because that's not my mindset. Like, I don't want to be in this family or just like have work this kind of, because you're not living.
Not a lifestyle, man. It's really not. Like,
I've seen it from my parents, and they work, and then you know, that doesn't hinder them, but it hinders their kids, because down the road, where did you spend that quality time with us?
You know, that's another thing that you mentioned, though, family. Like, so dealing with family can be another challenge.
Yeah, especially if you didn't have any kids of your own, or just being with someone that has kids, whether if it's a guy that has kids or a girl that has kids.
Not so much that. It's just like I said earlier, it's about like coming from a family where, you know, you're dating your own kind and you go outside of that circle and date someone different. It's a little bit tricky. You know, and sometimes family kind of like excludes you out in a way for whatever reason, whether it's I don't really like him or her, or, you know, whatever kind of triggers them, you know. And I think that to me is a little bit challenging. It's kind of like, you know, but it's in every relationship, because I mean, have you ever seen that movie with J-Lo? It's called Monster in Law, where she was marrying her son and the mother in law did not like her at all.
Oh, yeah, you told
me. At all. Yes. Like, I think she had like a peanut allergy, and the mother in law knew, and she on purposely gave her something that had peanuts. Mm. It's just like, to me, that's a whole different subject. I mean, it's challenging. And it's one of those type of things that you cannot let them interfere, because once you do, then you're jeopardizing your relationship.
Right.
I get it that they're supposed to guide you. And of course, they're supposed to give you advice if, you know, this person is basically taking you through the slippery slope down the road. You know what I mean? Like, they're, you know, if this person's going to be your downfall. But when it comes to petty stuff, like, oh, I don't like her because she's too loud, or I don't like her because she speaks her mind, or I don't like her because she thinks she's too pretty, or whatever. Like, to me, that's just like,
those are little things.
It is, but it's just like, but it creates friction within the family, because now you're stuck in between, because that's, you know, your family and this is your girl. You know what I mean?
Right.
And To me personally, that's why I kind of like seclude myself away from people, period. You know, my mom knows, like, she cannot intervene when it comes to my relationship. Like, my mom is the type of person that she's like, if she believes that I shouldn't be with that person, she's like, you're going to learn. She's like, you know, you got to make them mistakes in order for you to learn, you know? And Bentley, sorry, guys. That's our dog all in our microphone trying to be. I guess he wants to join the podcast, too.
He's trying to be our next guest. What are you trying to tell us, Bentley? What are you trying to say?
What do you want? You telling me you need a girl? You need a girlfriend? You need a girlfriend? He needs a girlfriend.
I know. If any of you guys have a girl, female dog out there for my boy Bentley, please let us know. Contact us. Find us on Facebook. Find us on our podcast. Get in touch with us, guys. Get involved. This is very fun, and we like to talk about true love and everybody's opinion. We like to hear about it, most definitely. Becoming One is our Facebook page.
Make sure to follow us, guys. Definitely, you know, give us inside feedback, whether you like us or not. I don't care. I mean, I can handle constructive criticism. It's nothing. Yeah, I mean, is there anything else you want to touch on?
And that's about it. Like, this is pretty fun, but I think that if you really want to be out there to find true love, it's not going to be easy.
It's not going to be easy, but who cares? Just go for it. I mean,
one of the things I did learn that it's being patient. Very patient. I mean, I know a lot of us don't have it. And when you're single, I know, guys, you feel single. Like, you feel lonely. You feel desperate for some need or someone. But, man, don't rush that time. Don't rush it.
I agree.
It'll come to you. Trust me. There's always an A and B for everybody. Trust me out there. No matter if you're tall, short, fat, skinny, there's always someone out there for you. I've seen some of my high school friends, and some of them are already married. I was like, whoa. But
and the ones you thought I would never get married
to? The ones I never thought would get married got married. And it just goes to show you that everyone's out. Someone's got someone for everybody. Don't just give up.
I mean,
life is long. We're talking about 70 plus years we're going to live. And if you hinder because something happened within 6 months, I mean, what's 6 months to compare to years?
To your lifetime, I know. Exactly. I mean, like I said, you live and learn. You grow within every relationship you're in. You know, you learn not to make certain mistakes. I mean, it's part of growing. It's part of life. I mean, life Absolutely. Is all about growing.
Mm-hmm. I want to say that every day is a lesson learned. Every day. There's a lesson to be learned every day.
So, yeah, so basically the moral of this episode obviously there's going to be culture and differences. But the point is, if you love that person, you need to learn to adapt and overcome.
Regardless of ethnicity, background.
And regardless of what other people say, who cares? If you guys are happy, who cares? They're probably miserable anyways.
Yeah. So follow us, add us on Facebook, Becoming One. Hear us on our podcast. Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify.
And much more. I don't even know. There's like, we're like on 11 platforms, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll Becoming One, guys.
So, alrighty, guys. Thank you for listening. And until next time, stay tuned for next one. It's another live episode one.
Yes.
We'll make sure to post.
How well we know each other.
Oh, God. But we'll make sure to post in advance, letting you guys know when we'll be recording live. On Facebook. And yeah, see you guys then. Bye.
Bye.